Wolfman Dave from the Metal Podcast.
Yeah, this is Michael from Gates of Ishtar. Really nice to be here.
Fuck yeah, dude. Thank you so much for being here and for your time. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries.
So, as we spoke beforehand, I had asked you, or I was going to ask you, what are some of the music that you've been listening to lately? Or, in fact, it doesn't even have to be. It could just be stuff you've been watching, maybe podcasts that you've been listening to?
Musical-wise, I have been listening to a lot of the new Judas Priest album.
Yes.
It has been like, since I heard Panic Attack, like the first single they released, it blew me away because I have been on and off listening to Judas Priest for many, many years. But in the last couple of years, I haven't been paying so much attention to the music. But when I heard that song, it was like, oh my God, this could almost be like on the Painkiller era albums, kind of that sound. So it's amazing that he can be like, what is it, 72 years old and still sound like that. You know, he's the best vocalist ever for metal, I think.
I agree. I'm wondering if Richie Faulkner had a lot of, he like reinvigorated the band because a lot of the riffs from Invincible Shield has an old school feel to it.
Yeah. It sounds like they took like the best material that they have lying around, you know, and like, okay, now let's pound this into our sound, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a really, really good album for those guys. I'm really happy for them.
Me too. It's going to be on a lot of people's best of for this year. Coincidentally, had you heard, did you hear Firepower, the last album they did previously?
Yeah, since I listened to Invisible Shield now, I immediately had to like, okay, what else did I miss?
Yeah.
So I started to listen to that one as well. And those two albums are really, really good. And is it Andy Sneap that did the production for them? Yeah.
Correct.
And I believe he makes a lot of...
Oh, yeah. I think he might have been the other guitarist on the recording sessions as well. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I think he did at least produce the guitars, so he had a lot of input. And didn't he like play a lot of live shows with them for a while as well?
That's right.
So yeah, but they're sounding really, really good.
And
yeah, I couldn't be more happier actually because it's so good to listen to something that you're familiar with, but they come up with new music that's really, really good in the same like vein as they did before. So.
Is that something that, or were they a band, let's just say, that initially got you into metal?
Yeah, of course. When I heard the Painkiller album, for instance, it was, first of all, the production of that album, it was, I still remember listening to, and I don't think it was Painkiller I heard first. I think it was Touch of Evil that I heard the first track. And I was like, oh my God, this is really, really heavy. And then I heard the drum intro on Painkiller, and I was like, oh my God, that is so. And my first band that I played with, this was like a rock band, nothing that we did for very many years, but a couple of years. So we played a couple of Judas Priest covers. Like we played, what's the song? Oh. Living After Midnight.
Yeah.
We played with that band. So it's, yeah, they have been around in my listening. I have listened to them for many years. So
yeah. And when you were, I guess starting and before you did Gates of Ishtar, what were some bands maybe that influenced you to to hone in on that sound?
Gates of Ishtar, it was like a melting pot, because we had one of the guitar players. He was very much into like King Diamond and those kind of like heavy metal sounds, and I was listening to a lot of like Florida death metal. Actually, I listened to Morbid Angel, Deicide, Cannibal Corpse, Immolation, Gorgut. Those were my kind of bands, and of course I had an older brother that listened a lot to Iron Maiden, so I loved also the like melodics from Iron Maiden. And I think if you combine those two, like with the heavy metal of like Motley Crue, Iron Maiden, Wasp, and compare and use that in parallel with like the Florida death metal sounds, you get something different, you know. And that's probably what everybody's like, yeah, that's the melodic Swedish melodic death metal sound. But I think it has a lot to do with that anyways, because I really like, you know, the dual guitars with when they play the leads and melodies together, and that has always been a main influence for me anyways.
That no, I could see that. And I love that you included let's say Red Hot or I Want to Be Somebody, you know, from Wasp and from Motley Crue. I think that's
Yeah,
cool.
and those were the tracks we when we started partying when we were younger, that were the tracks that we were listening to, drinking our beers and having fun, you know. So it's you should always pay homage to the bands
I agree.
you listened up when you grew up. So
Did you ever get into Thin Lizzy also?
not that much, you know. Everybody likes them, and I'm not going to say that I dislike them, but they were not my kind of cup of tea, you know. It was because I have always been more into like Yngwie Malmsteen and, you know, that kind of more technical stuff. And I don't know, maybe Thin Lizzy was a bit too rocky, modern rock for me, or not modern rock, but more like,
Classic.
yeah. But they have good songs, and Phil Lynott was a really, really good singer, so, and bass player. So, yeah, but they were not my kind of like first-hand choice anyway, so.
I was going to show you something. Let's see. I'm not sure if you ever got to see this, but this is my introduction to Gates of Ishtar.
Okay, and what is that actually?
So this is a compilation. This
All
is
right, all right.
released through Metal Blade.
Okay.
And you had Amon Amarth on here, the Victorious March,
All
God
right.
Dethroned, Dark Funeral, The Everdawn, Lord Belial, Gates of Ishtar, Defleshed,
All right.
Midwinter, Mithitin, Enthroned. There was just so many great bands on this compilation, and that was my introduction to you guys. This
Okay,
was
which song
Trail of
was it?
Tears.
Better, Trail of Tears. Okay, yeah, I didn't actually know that that one was on there. Okay, that's cool, really cool.
So yeah, and so for years I've had this one since like 99 or something when I bought it, 98. And yeah, that was
Yeah.
my introduction. So I just that's really cool, man. Like I've just been following you guys since then.
Yeah, and
So
then I really like those kind of compilations, you know, because it's nowadays, of course, it's like, okay, you can just go in Spotify and choose like similar bands to this band. But back then, you got one of those like compilation CDs, and usually it was like, oh, it's only like one or two bands you like, and the other ones were not your cup of tea. But you could discover some really interesting bands just from listening to those compilations back then. But
And
people
I
don't
love them.
understand it now, because now it's so easy to you know, find new bands, because you just like click on this link, and then you get like 10 similar bands to the one you're listening to. So.
Exactly. And also like you mentioned before, having to look at maybe magazines, the bands, whatever t-shirts they're wearing, like,
Yeah.
oh, what band is that? I want to listen to them, you know? So yeah, it was a lot. I think it was a lot more fun experimenting, exploring, and investigating, right? Trying to find
Yeah.
the bands out there.
Yeah, and I had like a couple of guys from, I had a couple of friends from Canada that I pen paled with, and I sent them like, I recorded on cassette tape a couple of songs, like, okay, you should listen to this and this and this. And I sent to them, and they will send me back something else. And it's so, and sometimes you will like, you lose the note where it said which bands that were on the tapes. So sometimes you were
Damn.
listening, oh fuck, this is really good, and then you couldn't find the name of the
Who is
songs until many years
it?
later. Yeah, so it's yeah, there was, but it was the charm of that, you know, you had to be like a little music detective to sort some of the things out. So
Yeah, I kind of missed that. That was the for me the good old days in terms of how you said investigating, doing your police work to find stuff. And yeah, I
yeah.
coincidentally, I mean, I have a bunch of these different bands from Nuclear Blast and Century Media. And I especially like here it says specially priced, do not pay more than $5.98 on here. So it's bang the most bang for your buck, you know?
Yeah, if you're lucky, you can get, there are a couple of those that are really, really good ones with really good tracks on it. But usually it's like the big labels, they want to promote like a couple of the bigger acts, and then they put in their smaller catalogs in the same CD. So, but there are always a couple of good ones on there. So those are really good finds. If you find them, you can find them in like second hands,
Yeah,
like
that's what I did
used.
on some of them, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, and talking about going back, let's say when you were writing, and not necessarily with Gates of Ishtar, but let's say during that scene, did you see any backlash or was there any resentment towards incorporating melody and into the music?
No, not like melodies were never any problem, but as soon as somebody were trying to involve some keyboards, then usually it was like, what the fuck are you doing, guys? But that was probably the main. But after a while, you know, the like bands like Children of Bodom and equals to them started using them, and it became more natural. But like in the beginning, keyboards was like a total no-no, because it was like, ah, no synth music. But as long as you don't say synthesizer, say keyboard, then it's like, but then you have like Deep Purple with Yod Lord playing like the most brutal things on the what is it called? The Leslie, like Hammond
Yeah, the Hammond.
organ. So yeah, and that's like one of the most evil sounds you can have when you have like a full distorting Hammond in the back. I really love that one. So
Yeah, actually sound it I mean it adds if it could add to the music even more and but I mean if you have him, I think you can let him. Oh yeah, you know, of
yeah,
that
he was a
caliber.
genius. He was a genius, that guy. And yeah, as you said, if it adds to the music, everything I think is allowed, as long as it's not put in there for a purpose, like only to appeal to some, I don't know. It should always be done with the heart, you know. And if it's done with the heart, people will recognize, oh shit, this is for real. Somebody put their heart into it.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so during this time, I always wondered because, for example, the Florida death metal scene was still very young at that time, maybe what, 6 years, maybe around that time.
Yeah.
When you went to the studio to record, were the producers like, what the fuck is this? Were they like wondering, like, how do we record this? Or they just take it, you know, in ease, you know?
We were really lucky because we actually look around because the first choice we had was Sunlight, where Entombed had recorded their albums. But we thought that, okay, maybe that sound is not going to be, it's going to be too harsh for our music. So we started looking around, and then we found out that we had the Tico Tico studio in Kemi, where we recorded the first Gates of Ishtar album. And that guy had worked with bands like Impaled Nazarene from Finland. So he knew that kind of music. And also we when we heard a couple of stuff that I have recorded in his studio, we were like, yeah, it's close for us to go there with car and also a good studio that can make our music come alive in a good production, you know. So it was a really stroke of luck, I think, because he made a really good impact on that album, because it sounds very rockish, you know, very, it's not like that really harsh death or black metal sounding that all the other bands had back then. We had like really rock and roll production, and I really liked that.
Yeah, I love A Blood Red Path. Chef's kiss, man. So thank you
Yeah,
for
thank you. Yeah,
that.
thanks, man.
So is there any album that you could say you're the most proud of?
I think I must say that it's that one, because it's like the first. You have to imagine being in the rehearsal room, just don't knowing anything about what we're going to do. And then we recorded the demo
Yeah.
and sent it to the record labels by like snail mail, you know, put it in a package and with a post,
Yeah.
and getting a call from the guy from the record label, and he was like, "Oh my God, we're going to sign you. Don't do anything. We're going to sign you guys." And we were like, "Oh shit, this is really happening," you know. And you
Yeah.
had to pinch yourself. So there's a lot of, you know, emotions around, not especially the album, but what happened and how it happened and everything that makes you feel like, okay, it was such an unrealistic feeling when you opened up the package and you hold your own album in your hands for the
Yeah.
first time. You know, you had hold like Metallica and everybody
Yeah.
else's albums, and then suddenly
You
you
have your
have
own.
your own name there. It's,
Yeah.
yeah, and that's never gonna go away. You know, it's a huge feeling, and
Yeah.
yeah, so it has to be that album. And also, going into the studio, it's such a learning experience, because you're used to playing in the rehearsal room and everything is kind of really hard to hear. And when you're in the studio, you hear everything. So you have to play in another way. You have to really focus on what you're doing when you're in the studio. So I think it's a really good learning experience to do it like that.
Yeah. I think on the Dawn of Flames you worked with Dan Suano.
Yeah.
So that must have been an interesting experience, right?
Yeah, first of all, we were all like fanboys of
Yeah.
him and what he has done, like in the music. So,
Right.
but he was a really down to earth guy, very professional. And we were the last band actually to record in his old studio, in the Unisound studio. So I
Wow.
think the band that had been like, it was Dark Funeral, Dissection had recorded there. And I think it was Millencolin, a punk rock band that played there before us. And then we were, and then he put down the studio because he wasn't going to continue with it for a while. So it was, yeah, it was a really learning experience. And he was a really nice guy. And he also, every time if we wanted something or needed something, he was like, "Yeah, but I can do it. I can help you guys." And he was
Yeah.
really, yeah, 100% straight guy, that one. So.
I love that because it also opens it up for you, right? Where
Yeah.
you have more possibilities, more you're not stuck in one place, you know, you could do more. So.
No, and that was so, because we had done the first album, and on the second album it was like, okay, we can maybe experiment with some stuff. And we had Dan, that's he's a really good vocalist, but he's also a really good keyboard player. So it's like, okay, if we have a good keyboard player around, why can we not try to do something? And we did the intro for Arrival of Eternity, Emma Payne, and yeah, it just fits with the album. It's not like we choose it because it's happened. Like, the decision was, we were talking over a cup of coffee in like, what should we do? Yeah, let's try it. And we tried it and it worked out, you know.
Yeah.
So
Ah,
yeah, it was a
I love
stroke of
that.
luck.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's, and that's really, I really like it, because then it ha something happens to the song that never would happen if we have gone to another studio, you know. That would never have been in the song. It would have been a completely different song. So yeah,
Now,
everything is for a reason, you know.
exactly. No. And that's funny how it happened, just over a cup of coffee, just shooting the shit and just like, hey, let's try that, you know?
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, I guess we're talking about being proud, but how about the opposite? Is there anything that you'd want to change, or that you think, we could have done something differently?
Yeah, but it's always, and I have, and that's something that I have always struggled with my whole life. I have too much of, you know, the perfectionist in me that I always want to, and it's hard, because if you want to make something end, like be the production, that's what I like, going into studio when you have like, okay, we have 3 weeks in the studio and then we are done. Then you have a deadline and you have to work according to that. But if you're doing it at home and you sit by the computer and you can record the guitars forever and you can do the vocals forever and you can do the mixing forever, that's not a good way for me to work. So I miss that we are not doing that. That's what we are actually, with Gates of Ishtar now, we have new music on the way actually,
Nice.
because we have started Since we did the show and we felt like, okay, the feeling is still there. It's not like only like, yeah, business, but it's like on the personal level. When we started jamming instantly, it was like, oh my God, it feels like we were back in the 90s again, you know. You can close your eyes and you're back in the old rehearsal room. So then me and Andreas started trying out some riffs together, and it was like, okay, we still got it, you know. Feeling is there and the sound is there. So we are actually now writing music without any like deadline or anything, but we have started writing music, and our ambition is to do a new album. And this time I hope we will go into the studio and have like those 3 weeks or 4 weeks. So we go in and do it, and not overdo it, because it doesn't get any better. It's only because you're sitting there and checking the tracks, checking the tracks, checking the tracks. And it's like chasing. We used to joke about that, you know, chasing the Moby Dick. Like, is it the Moby Dick snare or Moby Dick bass drum or Moby Dick guitar solo? It's something that we will never find, you know, but we will keep chasing for it. So it's better to have and also have a producer that says, okay, you're done, guys. And you can hands off and leave it there, you know. And usually, when that's one of the things, when I listen to stuff, I usually like the demos I have at home better than the final product on the album, because it's much rawer and much more feeling into it when you don't over. Because when you overdo everything, you kill it, because it gets too static, you know. You have to have the groove and the feeling.
Yeah, when it's
So
too
that's,
polished.
yeah, too polished. And that's what I dislike about a lot of the new productions that's coming right now. Everything sounds, oh, it sounds immaculate, but where's the feeling in it? And that's something I miss, because if you listen to, like, yeah, old Black Sabbath, they go in and they play like a whole band in front of like two microphones, and they get the groove and they get everything. Like, you can almost hear the walls in the room in the break, you know. And that's something to achieve, I think. That's capturing a moment that you will never capture in a computer, you know, when you sit and over cut everything and quantize, and that's killing the vibe, you know. It's impressive that something everybody's playing, but there were bands playing like that before you can do it in a computer, you know. There were a lot of like Immolation and those kind of bands, and Cynic and Death, and it's amazing music, and it's not edited to sound like that. It's people doing it. So yeah.
The more organic the feeling is, the better. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
Once it sounds too clicky and too polished, then it's just not as fun anymore.
No, and even like Meshuggah, that's a really, really tight, like rhythmical band. They still have the groove, you know, that makes, if you watch them live, it's like, fuck, this is still grooving, you know, even though it's like ones and zeros every time, but it's still grooving. And that's that. They are the only band I have ever seen that can do it like that, you know. They are the only ones, so they have the groove still. So
Yeah, I'll give it to them. They do have that. The that's undeniable with
yeah.
that's funny. Now talking about Meshuggah, but is there anything that any albums or songs that you wish that you're like, fuck, I should have wrote that, or I could have wrote that, or
I don't know. There's a lot of good songs, you know. So it's so hard to choose from. But I don't know. We were talking about Judas Priest, like Painkiller. That song is like, even like when you hear the drums, it's such an idea for the song when the drum starts in the beginning. It's like instantly. But you have like Blinded by Fear by At the Gates. It's also like, it's like, I don't know. It's there like Raining Blood, if you're gonna have that
Yeah,
context, you know,
comparison.
comparing it to, yeah. So
There's I think those moments where they capture lightning in the bottle.
yeah.
But you know, with Painkiller, everything is amazing on it. The vocals, the guitar tone, the guitars, the drums, everything, the bass. It's just
Yeah.
perfect. That album is, I
Yeah,
think,
yeah.
yeah, 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's a perfect storm. It's like, and is it Scott Travis that plays the drums?
The drums,
And it was like, yeah, he added something, because he used to play in Razor X, that was really, really technical band. So when he came in with his input on, yeah, everything is so tight and everything is like really groovy and driving. So yeah. Yeah,
Did you
it's amazing.
hear the Death cover Painkiller?
Yeah. But was that by Death, or was it like he had another band? What was that called?
Control Denied?
Yeah.
No, he did. It was on the Sound of Perseverance, the one back here.
Okay. Yeah. It was okay. Yeah. But they nailed it with that one as
Yeah, that
well.
was a great fucking cover.
Yeah.
You know, they actually
And
also
that.
covered Kiss,
Okay, I didn't know that.
God of Thunder. Yeah, it's really good, man.
Yeah, I can understand it. They were out of this world, you know. Individual thought patterns and symbolic are like those two albums are. And of course, I really like Human as well, but yeah, the riffs are amazing and the leads are amazing, and his voice is really fitting for the music, but he has a really characteristic voice, you know, so yeah.
It fits. Yeah, I think they were a very unique band, and I know a lot of people shit on their sound, how they changed from album to album. But I thought they progressed in a great way, you know, naturally.
And he was so before his time, you know. I think he was really like he was 10 years before everybody else. So yeah, those I saw there was some guys that did like a tribute to like Symbolic, I think they were called, like the band, and they played a live show that was really good. And they brought in like different people that have been playing with Death since the years, so they played on different songs. So that was really cool.
Right now I
Yeah.
think there's it's called Death to Wall, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, ex-members and stuff like that. I think it's great to keep the memory going, you know.
It's cool. It's cool because, yeah, who knows where he had gone if he had been able to continue, you know. It would have been some really good song coming up from him, I think.
I feel like he would have collaborated with somebody, you know, someone else in the metal scene. You see, like, what's his name from Emperor Isan? He wanted to collaborate with Rob Halford, and you know, he brought it up again recently that he hopes that they can collaborate one day, and that would be really interesting.
I think that's really cool that if you can either work with somebody that has been like a influence to you, or somebody that's like on the opposite spectrum of music from you, so you can like meet somewhere in the middle and see what's happening. So yeah, but that's cool. I think like Devin Townsend is like one of those musicians that I think can bring out something from each one he would try to play with. So
Easy, easily.
yeah.
When his I think musical genius is that, right, where he knows what he can bring and who he can bring in to get the sounds, kind of like Chuck. And I think maybe to a degree Dave Mustaine, because Dave Mustaine kind of did the same thing where he kind of had different people, you know, come in and bring out the best of them.
And now Megadeth has like, oh, they have really good musicians now. So I would
Oh
really
yeah.
like to see them now with what's the name of the drummer?
Oh, Dirk
Yeah,
from
Dirk.
Soilwork. Cool.
Yeah, but I actually Dirk, I came to notice when he played in a band called Scarred, and they recorded in Dugout before we were there recording with Daniel Bergstrand. We recorded the first album there with Duskfall, and they had just been into the studio, and he was like, "Yeah, guys, do you want to hear something?" And we was like, "Okay, what is it?" And he was like, "This is Scarred," and they were like from the Netherlands, and it was like one guitar teacher, and it was Dirk on the drums, and it was a couple of other guys, and he played a track. I think it was Irradiant. What's the name of the track? And it was like when we listened to it, it was like, "Oh my God," because it's like weird blast beats and technical stuff, and oh my God, he blew our minds, you know.
That's fucking cool, man. Yeah, he's a fucking
Yeah.
good drummer.
Yeah, he's a really great drummer, and yeah, everybody's like, "Ah, oh, maybe he's not coming to his best rights in Megadeth," but I think he does a really good job there, and I really hope that he does the other stuff like he did with Scar, but it's a good gig for him to be in Megadeth, so I'm really happy for him.
Oh yeah. I think he paid his dues, that's for sure. So yeah, that's
Yeah.
cool. So this fall you have the Candela Broom Festival in Mexico.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get there because yeah, that lineup, I mean the lineup as it is pretty intense.
It's really cool. I just the one of the names that just flashes by is Exodus for me that I've seen on the and those guys have been a dream to see live because I really love and Tom Hunting is one of the best drummers for thrash metal. So
Yeah, he's great.
I really want to see those guys. But just going to Mexico, you have to understand for us, we have never played outside of Europe with Gates of Vishta. And when we got the question if we wanted to come and play Mexico, it was like a no-brainer. It was like, oh my God. So just because we have heard from many bands like Dark Funeral that has been to Mexico, it's like when you go over there, it's like it's hectic, you know. It's people are the Mexican fans, they are fans. It's nothing like
That's
they
something I'm
live for that
excited
shit. So
about.
yeah. So it's gonna be really cool to meet the people and play live in Mexico and also see a lot of good bands there. So
Honestly, like I tell you, I want to get my ticket as soon as possible and then, start getting my way out there.
Is it far for you to
I live in El Paso, Texas. So
Yeah.
we border with Mexico.
Yeah.
I think a flight, maybe 5 hours, maybe 4 hours flying.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
No, it's yeah, but we tried to check when we heard that we were playing in Mexico. Yeah, I wonder how far it is, like to the beach or whatever. But Mexico is a huge country, and that's like it's like almost in the middle, if I don't.
Right in the middle.
So yeah, so it's not just like taking a car to the coast for one day. It's gonna
No.
be like
You need a couple of
so
days. Oh
yeah. So but it's really good and it's gonna be awesome. And just eating Mexican food and everything,
yeah,
it's
dude.
like it's gonna be
You're gonna be all right, man.
yeah, I really hope so because I have been to the States, I've been to Florida, but I never been to like Mexico or yeah, anywhere close to that. So it's gonna be really awesome.
All right, we got like 5 more minutes, a few more minutes. But yeah, that's cool, man. I'm actually very excited, and I want to see Hell Ripper. Those guys are, I mean, incredible, dude. So good, dude.
Yeah, I don't even know if I ever heard those guys actually. So I have to check
You
them out.
can. Yeah, check them out. They're like a, it's actually really is one guy who does everything,
All right.
but it's a mix of like old thrash, old Slayer, with a little bit of black metal, splashed in.
Okay.
But he's a young kid. I mean, he's like 24, 25,
All
and
right.
he's an amazing musician. He has a very good like understanding of how to write leads and different riffs and how to make the backing riff mat, really good.
All
So
right.
yeah, they're gonna be on the tour. Hopefully, I'm pretty
Yeah,
sure you'll see
okay.
them.
Yeah, but great. I have to check them out.
Again, I want to thank you for coming on board. I really appreciate your time because I know we're just like what a 7 hour difference, something like that.
Yeah, well, it's no worries.
Yeah.
It's always
So
great.
I guess we can cut it here if you're okay with that.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
So view really quick. Thank you guys for listening in, and thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, dude.
Yeah,
You guys
thanks,
have a good
man.
one.
Yeah, cheers, mate.